set, go. Three guys, one mic. A lot of heavy. Oh yeah.
Hello, I'm Jeff Crenshaw, and you're listening to Heavy Set Go. I'm pretty excited right now. We have a return guest.
Are you?
Yes, we have a return guest that I've been wanting back for a long time. We probably should be doing other things, but I want to do this just for a little bit.
No, this is the most important thing we should be doing right now. I got to warm up my voice anyway, right?
Right. This is Zach Shannon. He is a corrections officer. I've learned my lesson.
Yes, and officer, thank you.
Yes. And he is an actor as well, one of the stars of Truffle Runners on the side. And maybe he'll be again if he returns
if
from
I
Pendleton.
Ever move back to better part of Oregon. Nah, I like Eastern Oregon. It's all right.
So
it's just very different.
What's the likelihood of you moving back?
Probably slim to none.
Slim to none?
Slim to none.
We miss you.
I like it out in Pendleton. It's nice. You know, it's a town. It's only got 17,000. You know, that's as many people as got. This area right here, I feel like I look out, like, your front door, and I see all the traffic, and I'm like, that's the whole population of Pendleton right there.
Wow.
Jeez. But, you know, it's quiet, it's nice, not a lot of crime. You know, you step outside your front door. So, it's like I'm saying, my grandparents right now, they're right next to the Hillsborough Airport. You step outside, and just loud. It's right next to Intel and stuff, and it's just, you're hearing planes go over, you're hearing cars honking and everything, and then in Pendleton, you just step outside, even we're closer to the middle of the city, it's just quiet.
Damn. I was, on the other hand, like, your description, and you're like, man, I came out here and I went to Cold Stone, because all we have is Dairy Queen, and I'm thinking, holy shit, I don't know if I could survive without all the amenities.
Well, that's, and okay, that took a while to get used to, you know, it's like, I love Mexican food. We have three Mexican places, and one just shut down.
Really? So you have two now?
The owner had a heart attack, so it's, now there's only two, and it's one's Mazatlan, and that sucks, and then the other one's a really crappy one, it's like, one China. Mazatlan? I do not like mozzarella.
All right.
And we have like two Chinese places and we have like three fast food. Taco Bell is like one of the biggest places in town. We got a lot of steak places though. You know, Eastern Oregon's a lot of steakhouses and stuff like this. So we got Hamleys, we got some Miatis.
That does sound good. I love steak.
Those are actually real nice. If you ever come down there, Hamleys, it's like a $30, $40 steak. And maybe not the best in the world, but it's pretty dang good.
Damn.
You know, the Acropolis is pretty good as well. It's like, I'd put those two.
Is it like
there.
A Greek theme in there?
No, it's cowboy. It's
Eastern Oregon. Why do they call it the Acropolis?
No, do you not know what the Acropolis is?
The
Acropolis
is... It's
a strip club in North Portland that has, like, one of the best steaks you'll ever have.
Oh, okay.
The strip club has a walk-up window for people to just buy the food because the food is so good. The guy owns a... He owns a farm where he has a bunch of cows, and he slaughters his own cows.
Wow.
And brings it to the strip club and sells it, like, the food at a cost, right? Just, like, a slight markup.
Is the Acropolis a Greek-themed strip club?
I have no idea. Actually never been into the strip club, but I've been to the walk-up window to get the food like five or six times. It's in Milwaukee area.
The Acropolis, if I'm not mistaken, is that big rock formation on which the Parthenon was built in Athens.
Apparently, maybe the stripper's thighs are like holding up the pillars of the business. I don't know. I'm just going to go
imagery.
With that.
Lovely imagery.
I'm just saying, if you're going to... We're talking about strip clubs here. I mean, you might as well go all out.
Right. There's so much more.
This podcast is rated R.
Rated R for strip R.
What the fuck?
That was a stupid show.
That was kind of dumb.
It was.
But anyway, you know, it's different now in Eastern Oregon. It really is. It's quiet. There's not a lot of things going on. The biggest city is 45 minutes away. But you know what? Oh my gosh. It took me 2 hours to drive to Portland from Pendleton. It took me an hour to get from one side of Portland to the other, though. The traffic is awful. I am so not used to... You know, I am literally, from my driveway to the prison, to your parking lot, 4.5 minutes.
Wow, how far
away 4.5 minutes. Maybe a mile. Like, I'm pretty close. I can live within a mile of where I work in this town, and it's a half-hour drive, depending on the traffic. Like, it's just...
Damn.
Man, being back, it's been 3 years, almost 3 years now, 3 years in March. And just every time I come back, like this one and the last one, I'm like, man, they're just... I like people, I like the city, but I've always wanted to live like in Hood River or Banks where you're like an hour away from the city, but you can still go visit it when you need to and do things and have fun.
You could
but
come
you're
like
far enough out
month.
In the country.
You could visit every month if you lived out there.
If we had a prison out there, I'd be up for it, but...
Well, it can be like the the local sheriff
of the town. Yeah, county, okay. Which is all right, but state's got some really good benefits.
That counties don't tend to have.
Well, okay, so like Washington County pays, I don't know off the top of my head, like 55 starting. We start at 40 starting, so we start lower, mm-hmm. but we top out more than they do.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And then state has, I can recite exactly what they have off the top of my head, but I know we get more sick days and vacation days than like a county would. Also, counties, state, if like when the recession in 08, mm-hmm. they didn't do mass layoffs, counties did.
Oh, wow.
The state's got a bigger budget, even if they are in the negative.
Well, they don't want to have to dispatch
inmates. Well, it's like, I was originally going for the Columbia County Sheriff's. Mm-hmm. I was going to go for the jail, and this was 2011 or something like that. And they laid off about 3 or 4 of their jailers because they had budget cuts. Laid everyone off. Nah. They passed a bond, had more money, and then I went for the running, and they ended up hiring back a couple of the other ones. So, with, you know, no hard feelings, I get it, but... It's just, I don't want to have to like worry about, oh, the budget's going bad. Oh, I guess we're going to... It's better with richer counties, Multnomah, Washington, Clackamas, and things like that. But, you know, if you're in a smaller county, like I said, I was going for Columbia, which is, even then is pretty close to the Portland area. You know, any recession or any downturn, man, you're getting screwed.
What about Coffee Creek? That's a state prison, isn't it?
Ha! That is also... I don't want to work with women.
Really?
That is the worst. Every person... So EOCI on Pendleton...
Are they more vicious than men?
Yeah, used to have the women's facility.
Uh-huh.
And, like, so they used to have the women's facility. It's now turned into a men's minimum right there. Or, what's an incentive? Not minimum, but it's an incentive housing. It's mostly minimum rates. Anyway, so everyone tells me they're super manipulative. Like, you give someone a conduct order, which is kind of like a sell-in. Like, hey, you did something bad. You're on your bunk for 8 hours. You know, only come out to shower or whatever. And it's just like, they cry, you know, I don't want to sell it, oh, no. Or it's just like, she took this from me, she did this, she did that. You know, guys, if there's a fight, everyone's like, oh, I'm a tough guy, I'm not going to tell you guys, I'm not a snitch, you know, fuck the police. And then the women, the one nice thing about the women, though, they're like, she punched me. She did this. And then there's a lot of cat fighting and stuff. From what I hear, it's a lot more manipulation and stuff like that. I could do it. It's just kind of annoying a little bit.
Are you afraid that you'd fall in love?
No, it's just...
Oh, my darlings.
You know
you're all my angels.
Oh, my God. The one nice thing about Coffee Creek is they have the men's intake facility, which most people don't work because... Oh, it's violent and all that, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's people that fight each other. I work in a medium security prison right now. Like, yesterday, the day off, the day before, you know, 2:30, we have a fight in the chapel, and we run up there, and we hook them up and shit. You know, we have fights, like...
An Israeli-Palestinian conflict going on there?
Fucking no. No, Jehovah's Witnesses fighting. Yes, they fight.
Wait, you have Jehovah's Witnesses in prison?
Yeah, we have...
I thought they would, like... They didn't ever do crimes.
No, everyone does crimes. But anyway, so it's like, you know, mediums, we have a lot more fights and stuff like that. So women's, you know, the fights you have over there are more slap fests.
Mm-hmm.
They're not used to, like, you know, we don't have a lot of stabbings, but we have them every once in a while. Or most of the time it's slashes, no real stabbings. Like someone gets, you know, break. So we give them razors to shave and stuff like that. And they mm-hmm. have to turn them back in. But sometimes they break the cartilage and they'll take the razor and they'll get some dental floss and wrap it around a broken comb or whatever, and they'll try and slice anything. In the 5 years I've been there, it's only happened like 4 or 5 times. Like it's rare. It's not something that happens a lot, at least compared to other states. Damn. The other states, it's like a daily occurrence. But anyway, what I'm getting at, though, is so Coffee Creek, no one wants to work the male intake because, oh, they fight the, you know, they really try to beat each other up. Oh, it's scary. And I'm like, come on, guy, really? It's like I toured, there's a minimum facility up in North Portland,
mm-hmm.
and like one of the guys has been there for 20 years. It's like, do you guys get a lot of fights? And I'm like, yeah, like, all the time. And he's like, whoa, that's cool. And he's like, fucking what? Seriously? Guy's been here 20 years?
Likes fights?
Okay, so, like, you get into the industry, like, you know, people think corrections officers, all it is just, you're a dumb thug that just beat people's up. Like, the thing, corrections has changed so much. Most of my job... 90% of it is talking to people. Like, I can talk down most conflicts. You know, people get into fight. My first thought isn't to spray them with OC spray or to get in there and come up. It's, you know, hey, separate, guys still on the ground, still on the ground. You know, or like, guys got an issue, we're supposed to talk to it. You know, we're talking out of them and all these things like that. You know, we don't use anywhere near as much force as we have to. The inmates dictate the level of force we use. Mm-hmm. If they're on, like, let's say we have 5 steps of force, you know, just as an example, they need 2, then we go 3. No, what I mean is we can, the only force we use is slightly above what it takes to restrain.
Gotcha.
So it's like, if there's a fight in the yard and they're just slapping each other, we can't shoot them.
Yeah.
You know, what we can do is, like, you know, they continue to fight after we've given them warnings not to. We can use, so we have something called OC spray. It's like OC syncapsin. I can't remember off the top of my head. Like mace. Think of it as like a more hardcore mace.
You had to be sprayed with that
before you Fuck yeah, we did.
Why did they do that?
So we know what it's like. It's just like tasers.
So you don't like rush to use it on other people? Is that it?
A little bit. Like, we still do it. It's just so we get somewhat of an idea. Though, probably one of the main reasons, though, is occasionally a fellow officer might spray you by accident. You know, you have a fight in the chow hall. There's like 200 people in there. You know, maybe 10 officers. And if a lot of people are spraying, you know, you might get hit by it. Don't want your first time to be hit by spray is while you're in the middle of 20 other inmates fighting, you know, in the chow hall, right? They want you to have some kind of idea of what it is.
So you're not taken off guard and, like, crippled by the spray. You can deal
exactly.
with it.
Because, holy shit, let me tell you, that stuff sucks.
Oh, wow.
I've never been tased, but I can already tell I'd rather be tased than sprayed. Like, from what I hear of a taser, 5-second ride, you're done, you know? OC spray, man, that stuff lasted like half hour plus of me just like trying to get my eyes open and just can't do it. I went home.
Did you put your face in a dish of milk?
I went home and I got the Dawn dish detergent and I went into the shower and I just poured half a bottle on my head and just let it drip because it's oil. Because it's all oil and stuff like that. So Dawn dish detergent's real good. Baby oil is another really good one that can get all those oils off. Granted, my skin might not have been feeling so good, but I wasn't burning to death.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff, like, you are a snot rocket. Snot's coming out, whatever. Yeah. It's... So, my instructor, so we have the stuff we carry on mainline, which is a stream, and it goes about 12 feet. The stuff we carry in SEG is, like, deep freeze plus, I think what's called. It's a vapor that sucks all the room out of the air out of the room. That's what they sprayed us with. That is the worst stuff that we have, at least at EOCI. And my instructors were like, you know, I was second to go in line. We all volunteered. Who wants to go? You know, get over with. He's like, okay, we're going to spray in the air in front of you. You're just going to walk through it. Okay. The guy in front of me goes, and he started to spray, and the guy's walking through, and he's like, psych! Turns the bottle right into his face within, like, you know, a foot.
Oh.
But, so it's just like, and I'm the next guy, and I'm just like, oh, fuck. God dang it.
What an asshole.
Well, it's just, you know, it's because you just change it up because... You need to know what it's like.
So,
you know, so we got a level 1 exposure right in the face. That sucked, man. We were out. I'm glad he was thinking about doing some DTs later in the day, but everyone was down for the count. And you're just like, yeah, we're done for today. There was like...
Get out there and run a lap.
It's about 15 of us in it. Well, what we had to do, so we had to get sprayed in the face, and then we had to do... God, it's been 3 years since I've done this now. But we had to do certain things. We had to go to a punching bag. Mm-hmm. And we got to deliver strikes until they said we're done. Then we had to go to a knee bag and deliver knee kicks. And then we had to find a radio on the ground and make a radio call. So there's things we had to do.
So is there like a certain level of like physical fitness that you need to be able to do the job?
Yeah. So you can be a bigger guy and do it. So we have something called the Corpat, which is different from the Orpat. The Orpat, there's a time limit. At least in corrections, all you have to do is beat... You do it twice. You do it once when you start, and then you have to do it again 6 months in, but you have to beat your time is all it is. So if you the first time I didn't do that good. I did 6:30. Mm-hmm. But my second time I did it, man, I did like 4:45, 5 or something. I beat my time by a minute and a half.
Damn.
Because, man, like the Corpat, man, that thing is crazy. It's like it's this obstacle course that you got to run 6 times. Like, it's running over a balance beam, it's jumping over hurdles, it's running up 5 steps of stairs, running down, running back up, running down, jumping over a pole that's, like, chest high.
There's no and fucking then, way I would do that.
Well, and then you have to land on your stomach or back, they call it, and then you gotta do that, like, 6 times.
So that's kind and of like a steeplechase there, the pole thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. They're trying to judge a bunch... Yeah, I was fucking... me and a couple guys, when we first started, yeah, we're going to run in our full uniform, duty belt, handcuffs, all that.
You're thinking you're more badass than
And the second time I did it, I was in shorts, I was in tennis shoes, I was... Made sure I was good, but you have to do that, and then you got to do a wall, and then you got to touch it, and then you got to go on the ground, you got to get up, touch it again, and there's a strength machine that you have to get the strength machine within a certain parameter, and then you got to go in circles, and then you have to grab, like, a 150-pound mannequin, you got to drag them, and things like that.
So, what's like
the... Man, it was a good... God, that was tough. It's real tough. And then the Corpat, or the Orpat, which for the police, is pretty much the same thing, a couple differences. You have to do it within like 4:30. You know, like I said, corrections, all you have to do is beat your time.
Mm.
And but Corpat, you have to beat it with, like, you have to do it in 4 minutes, 30 seconds or whatever. So it's slightly different. But my second time, I did a lot better, and I'm...
Good job, man.
Yeah, I like it.
Do you still have to do it, like, every so often to make sure you're, like, up to...
I wish we did. We don't.
You don't? Oh, wow.
Because the issue is people get hurt on training more than they do on the job.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, because you have things like... We have an Officer Mays there. She's worked there for 25 years. Great person. Never once ever had a fight on a unit or anything like that. Just lucky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, God, I've had, like, 7 or 8. I've only been there 3 years. So yeah. It's just, you know... Sometimes everything goes great, you never have to worry, but training, you know, you put yourself into it more. They just don't want to pay for if someone gets hurt.
No OSHA expenses.
It kind of sucks. Like, I like the training we get, I think it's good, but sometimes, it's really good in the beginning, but then our yearly trainings and stuff, like this year it was 2 days, where it's usually a week because of budget cuts. So it's like, that sucked.
Maybe you can, you said earlier you're like trying to hit the gym more. Maybe like at the gym they have like an aerobics thing you could do to so you, even if your work isn't holding up.
We have one of our DT, our defensive tactics instructor. He tries to do a course every once in a while.
I got you.
They're building a classroom / gym for us where they can, because right now they've been leasing the local high school for us to be able to do our classes, but they're building a building to try and save some money.
Oh, nice.
They'll save money in the long run. So they're also putting a gym in the bottom floor for that. And they're putting in a big basketball gym as well, like a, you know, weightlifting gym. They got a basketball gym. So they're going to start doing like DT classes every day or every month. Nice. So it'd be kind of nice. Because they teach us Krav Maga, or at least they teach us.
What is that?
It's an Israeli martial art.
Really?
It's more of a streamlined version because they are, our training is 5 weeks. And then, so we go in for 2 weeks and we kind of shadow an officer, see how things are. We do 5 weeks of class, which is a mix of like classroom work and then defensive tactics.
Krav Maga.
Yeah. And then my favorite is like, they'll dress people up in hitman suits and they'll put, you know, suits on you and they're like, okay, they're on this unit, go. It's called RBTs, reality-based training. So mm-hmm. You have officers that will like simulate being inmates and stuff. And then we have to, you know... We have to try and deal with the situation or whatever.
Okay, someone is coming at you with a broken beer bottle. Well, not like they'd have one, but something that...
Or a shank or something, whatever.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, it's just something... They're coming at you with a sharp object. How do you... What is your first instinct?
Back the fuck up and pull out my spray. You know, people have, like, this issue of, oh, you ran from that fight, blah, blah, blah. It's like... It's like I was assaulted once, and what I did was
the guy tell the full story. This is when you were mugged, right?
There's some legal stuff. Like he's been tried. He's got 3 years, but I'll give a short and quick version. He got a pitcher of 109 degree water and threw it on me. Gave me first degree burns.
Fuck.
And I was in the middle of the day with a bunch of inmates, and I ran to the door and put my back to it, and then made him come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me time to make a radio call. Gave me time to get ready. Like, some people were like, oh, why don't you just stand there and fight? I'm like, why do I have to? Like, he fucking surprised me. I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the middle of the day room where any other inmate could jump on me. I made sure to run to the door where I didn't, like, leave the unit, you know, put my back to the border because that's where staff's coming from.
You made your
safe. You know, I can see everybody in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and then this is where the guy's coming from. So there's no reason, like, if a guy's coming at me with something, you know, I'm going to put myself, like, between a table. I'm going to back up, try and get away from him. I'd be able to pull up my OC spray or something like that. Like, just because they're fighting doesn't mean, like, I'm not here to, you know, I'm not here to just fight the guy.
Is this the same one that happened 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
He got 3.5 years or something like that. He pled guilty.
I remember, I remember, like, in the story you told me, like, he had you in, like, a headlock.
He hit me about 30 times with that. He surprised me. That's the thing. You have a day room full of, like, 40 inmates, and I'm walking back to the officer station, and out of fucking nowhere, he blindsides me with a pitcher of 190-degree water. And I get to the corner, and then we go at it. He knocks my glasses off. I got cuts above both eyes. Like, I'm starting to kind of bleed. He gets me in a headlock. I got to shove him against a wall.
Were those the Truffle Runner's glasses?
Yeah, they're fucking broke. They're gone.
Yeah.
They're state's evidence something, something, something.
Oh, so they're actually in, like, a file somewhere?
Somewhere. Yeah. I don't know what happened to him, honestly.
Wow.
So, anyway, so I shoved him against a wall. I was able to take my spray out, and, like, his head is on my left shoulder. Like, his chin is digging in. He's got a finger trying to go into my left eye to blind me. I pull out my spray, and the spray is like an inch or two away from his eyes, and I just spray the fuck out of him. Yeah, we got like 4 to 6 out scans. I can't remember what they are, but spray him all the way going down.
And you told me that you could have pulled a gun and shot him. Like, what?
I mean, we don't have guns on the unit. What I'm getting at, though, is like, he would get me enough, I could have used deadly force. I couldn't have gone over there and stomped his head. I chose not to because I didn't need to.
Yeah.
But it was bad enough I could have.
How do you decide in that instant, like...
Dude, just my conscience kicked in, because a part of me... Yeah, I'm real... You know, like...
Because you
get... So when I got blindsided, mm-hmm. For people that's ever been assaulted, you know, depending on the scenario, it's like, it takes a second to kick in, like, hey, is this really happening?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm walking up to a fight...
Because you're shocked.
An officer calls a fight, and, like, I work housing support, which is basically the guys that run chow, that run the yard, we respond to fights, things like that. Like, I know what I'm getting into. Bam. But if you're on a housing unit for 8 hours, you know, you can't be in that mindset of someone's going to assault me every single second. If you do, you're just, like, you're going to wear yourself out, you know? You can't be hypertension the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone blindsides you when you're not expecting it, like, it takes a second to kick in. Like, there was a moment there where he was punching me in the front, or in the face, and I was like, man, this doesn't hurt anywhere near as much as I thought it would. Like, literally, that what was going through my mind was that this doesn't hurt, because my adrenaline was pumping. And it took maybe 5 or 6 punches of his for it to really kick in, like, oh, I need to do something.
So he's pushing just, you're not ready. You...
It's called the Oda loop. I can't remember exactly where the term comes from. Basically, though, is like your mind's, you know, it goes into a series of actions, and sometimes something happen that's, you know, there's a loop of like 1 to 5. And, you know, 5 is you reacting or whatever. But sometimes you go to 1, 2, back to 1, back to 2, back to 1. Like, you're stuck in this little loop of, I don't know what to do, what's going on. And like I said, I figured out, and I'm like, oh shit, I need to be doing something. And then, you know, I was able to take my spray and spray him. But it's just, when you're not expecting it, man, it sucks. And that's the thing about prison that kind of sucks. You know, at least when you're a cop out in the world, you know, you get a call, radio call, and then it kind of pumped you up. But when you're surrounded by guys the whole time,
yeah,
you know, every time you do a tier check, like, I work in dorms usually.
You're outnumbered, you know, significantly.
Yeah, it's our dorms. So we have dorms and cells. We have facilities about 1,700, where you have 700-800 in the cells,
mm-hmm.
and the rest in the dorm, you know, 1,000 plus in the dorms. So it's mostly dorms. The smallest are about 80, the biggest are 107 per one officer. So you're surrounded the whole time. And just like, It's weird how comfortable I've gotten in prison. Like, I can walk on a unit, I'm fine. I mean, any minute something could happen. And now, after experience it once, like, it's not gonna take me a second to get into it again. Because that happened also, like, the second week I started. So, you know, the second week everyone's like, oh, it's going to happen. And you're like, oh, it'll probably happen. But it'll probably happen in years. No. So, it sucks, but it's like, what are you going to do?
Let's go back in time a little bit.
Back in where it all began.
Back in time. Back in time. We've talked today about the prison a lot, and we just, like, the last podcast we did was all about it. But I remember you've kind of had a kind of a pendulum life, because I remember back in, like, high school, you were talking about wanting to be involved in law enforcement, and then afterwards, it's for a while, you had swung away from that because you wanted to get into politics.
Well, I wanted to go into politics. So, like, high school, I was taking college classes,
mm-hmm.
where the Hillsborough PD partnered with Portland Community College, and they had officers that would come in. They would teach classes and stuff like that. It was actually real cool. I loved it. And then, like, I just got really into politics. I wanted to work on campaigns. I wanted to be president, you know, all that stuff. Like, shoot for the top. And I started working on that. I didn't agree with everything he said, but he was a decent guy. And I bet Unger, he was a representative at Hillsborough. He was only one term.
So he lost, or?
No, he just, after 2 years, he was really idealistic. And mm-hmm. I think once he got into it and realized he wasn't able to make the change he wanted to, he kind of got frustrated.
And left.
Yeah.
Do you know
good guy, and that's the kind of shit that sucks, because we need people like that.
Yeah.
But I can see the frustration, because it really is. It takes...
It's a meat grinder.
It really is sometimes. So anyway, he did good. So I was on his campaign. I did door-to-door. I was talking on phones. I was doing cyber-stalking, which is what we called it. So, where basically you have to figure out... they have a list of, what people make, wealthy people in the area. And mm-hmm. you got to get their name, and you got to go online, you got to find information about them. Go to their Facebook, go to their LinkedIn accounts or whatever, figure out phone numbers, figure out activities, likes and dislikes, and create a profile. And then somebody else will go and call them and try and get money from them as donors.
I feel like,
we know you're really into disc golf. Why don't we go disc golfing one day? You, me, and Ben or whatever, things like that.
Got that.
You'd be surprised the amount of information people put online. My Facebook, I lock the hell down. Nobody sees anything except my name and my cover photo. Yeah. And for some reason, a photo I like from 2012. All people can see. But some people have everything open. They have all their affiliations, all their likes, all their dislikes, family, friends, phone numbers, address, everything is there. And it's like, wow.
I try so hard to make it like friends only for my account.
See, that's what I have, is like friends only. And then I don't add anybody I don't know. Even if they're just an acquaintance, I'm like, I don't really know you. Nah, I'm good.
So you're like, Alan Burrell? No.
Exactly. Fuck that guy. But anyway, so... No, we love you, Alan, kind of.
Kind of. No.
But anyway, so... Yeah, I just did that for a while, and that was fun. But it's like, we were putting in 60-hour days. Or not 60-hour days. 60-hour weeks. 60, 70-hour weeks, 80-hour week. And minimum wage. It's not... While it's a job that you put your heart and soul into, that people are really shady about paying you overtime or paying you at all, because most of the time I was an unpaid intern. Mm. The amount of stuff I was doing, I should have been getting paid, but people want to be cheap. It is what it is. So doing that and just minimum wage, I went down to Salem. I did lobbying for a while for the school. I was a part of the student government at PSU, Portland State University.
What was your position in that?
I was just...
a senator or
intern.
Gotcha.
So I never ran for president or anything like that. I thought about it, but then my second year, I got a girlfriend, and that was more important. So, I started getting out of politics around then. I was doing big campaigns. We were doing, the get out the vote stuff. We were going down to Salem and I was talking to state representatives and trying to get money for schools and things like that. I talked to 3 or 4 senators and state reps and stuff. I enjoyed doing that stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Then more people saw the funeral jar.
Exactly.
He's done.
Well, it's just the amount of work you have to do for such little pay. Yeah. It really is hard to get into politics if you don't have an connection. And there's some people I was making some friends, all that stuff is good, but you know what? Even the people that were senators' aides are only making $12-13. I'm like, is this really what I want to do for my life? Have kids and just not have any money? Yeah. It's as much as I love making a difference and stuff, it's I gotta live, I gotta eat.
Yeah.
So it's I always wanted to do law enforcement stuff, so I kind of got back into that. I was going back to college, and there was a flyer for Columbia County Sheriff's, and I took the test for that, and then I also took it for state, because I figured, I might as well, and mm-hmm. didn't get the Columbia County one, but then the state called, so... Only been to Pendleton one other time before and said, hey, how many times do you ever get the chance to just go to a new town that you've never been to with a guaranteed job? So we moved out there before I even explored a quarter of the town.
Damn.
I lived out of a hotel for 2 weeks until we found a place to live.
Wow.
So it was a lot of fun. Life changes real weird. I did not expect to ever move out there or anywhere outside of Portland. I thought I'd live and die here.
Yeah.
So strange how things turn out.
You never know how things are going to go.
No, and then Natalie wasn't a big fan of it when she started, but now she loves it and doesn't want to
She doesn't want to come back?
Somewhat she does, but at the same time, she likes it out there.
I gotcha.
She likes... It's quiet out there. People are friendly. Everybody knows... Everyone knows their neighbors. You know, everyone waves at people. People are just friendly. They smile. I mean, you got your assholes, don't get me wrong, but just people are nice. Like, they're neighborly. And it's like, it's something you don't get up here that often. And you're lucky if you know the person across, you know, the street from you now. I remember growing up, we grew up in a cul-de-sac, and everybody had kids, and it was lucky that everyone had kids, because we knew everybody. Everybody, we knew each other. We had block parties, all that stuff. Then people started moving away, and then new people came in, and they didn't give a shit.
Well, it's so hard it's just to like introduce yourself to new people when you move in, or when new people move in, it's kind of hard.
Well, it's like, you know, we try. It's just like, you know, some people just don't. I feel like most people in the city just want to be left alone.
I think there's Alan and I were talking about this. It's not necessarily a standoffish thing, but it's like either a shyness thing, or you hear there's so much bullshit that happens in the news. You're not really sure if you moved next door or two, and you don't want to like knock on the next Ariel Castro's door. But
that's the people are more trusting out, I feel like, in the country than in the city.
That could be
because you know what. The city's got, you know, the highest population, whether there's a million people here. If there's one shooting, you know, let's say there's one shooting in North Portland that affects maybe five people. All million people in the Portland metro area are going to freak the hell out. Like, oh my God, all my neighbors are bad, you know? It's the one, I really like the media and stuff like that, but every once in a while, like, stuff like that gets real sensational.
I got you.
There's a shooting in Portland, Maine, all of a sudden people in Portland, Oregon get scared. People stop trusting their neighbors, you know? For no reason, because most people are good people just trying to get by. You know, Pendleton, we just had an officer-involved shooting the other day. Guy tried the fucking armed robbery at the Walmart. So, but that was like the first shooting we've had in like 5 or 6 years.
There was actually, I won't go into specifics because I don't want to be disrespectful, but there was an actual murder at one of the locations for Truffle Runners.
Really? Which one?
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you.
Cherry Lane?
I'll talk to you afterwards.
When you have more people, you have more crime. That's just how it is. But there's also, just because there's more people. You know, Oregon's got the lowest amount. So Oregon's, counting the District of Columbia, so 51 total, Oregon's got the lowest amount of officers, correctional officers, police officers, probation officers, than any other state in the United States. And it's because we're really calm and peaceful for the most part. Like, Oregonians, we got murder, we got arson, we got kidnapping, rape, pedophiles, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the lowest, not the lowest maybe, but one of the lower amounts. I like Oregon. Like, Oregon's nice. Like, I went to Florida recently to visit family. Everyone's a fucking asshole in Florida.
Really?
Like, oh my God, leaving the airport and just driving down the road and people just flipping you off for going the speed limit.
Tell that to my buddy Christian. He's thinking of moving to Florida eventually.
Yeah, it's just, man, it's, you know, we took a flight in New York. We had to stay the night because our flight was late and we missed our connecting flight.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just people are just, it's rude, you know? And it's like, coming back to Portland, even though it's a bigger city, you got some assholes. Like, people are just so friendly.
Do you think it's possible?
I love Oregon. I really do.
Do you think it's possible your experience in Florida was colored by the reason you were there?
A little bit of both, probably.
Gotcha.
But, you know, it's just like, probably I was a little more attuned to it.
Yeah.
But, man, just people are, you know, you go to a restaurant or whatever, and just, I don't know. It felt like
a different vibe.
I was there for 2.5 weeks. It wasn't like I was just there for a day or so.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like it was every day. You know, you were just getting some people. Because then it really, you really noticed the people that were just super nice.
Mm.
You know, it's like we went to the hospice center and God, they were great people. You know, Walmart, we had two people that were just fantastic. We're at the Chick-fil-A and just everybody hated their life.
Mm.
You know, and it's just, it's weird. You know, Oregon has their assholes too, and I'm sure Florida does as well, but it's just like, man, I love this area. I really do.
Me too.
Coming up here, you know, just talking to neighbors and stuff and just people, and people are very nice, you know. I love the Pacific Northwest. So I always do.
Tommy, Ben and I saw Tommy Wiseau last week or something, and
did he actually stick around this time? Because the last time we went, he disappeared. Like, he was supposed to do a Q&A before the show and just kind of left. Remember that?
Actually, he did the Q&A before the show, and
that's right. He was supposed to stay after and do some autographs, and he just left.
It was formatted differently this time because they added another screening at the last second. This time we got pictures and autographs on our way into the movie, and at the beginning of the movie, or before the beginning, there was a Q&A with Wiseau. And someone asked, so what do you have to say about Portland? He's like,
Well, I tell everyone, everyone's really nice in Portland. Every time I come, everyone's so nice.
And then, like a week after that experience, so last night, but then I went to see the Disaster Artist.
Oh, can I interject on that real quick?
Yeah.
So, what was this, 5 or 6 years ago when we first saw Tommy Wiseau, Greg Sestero, whatever his name is, he was there too.
Greg Sestero.
And so, we took a photo of all of us, all five of us, me, Jeff, Ben, Greg, and Tommy, and Ben tagged everyone in there, including Greg and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I posted in there, like, oh, you know, it seemed like, you know, Greg was a nice guy, but he seemed like he was just kind of there for a check. Like, he wasn't into it like Tommy was.
Mm-hmm.
And then Greg sends me a private message Messenger.
He did?
I told you this.
I don't remember this.
Like, this is like 5, 6 years ago. Like, yeah. Greg sends me a private message or a message like, hey, man, it was really nice meeting you. I appreciate you coming out. You know, hope to see you again. I was like, oh, awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm like, why the fuck is he messaging me?
Because...
And then I didn't... I skipped over and didn't realize that Ben tagged me and tagged Greg as well in that picture. I'm like, oh, shit. Shit. Fuck, he read that.
Would you like to apologize to Greg?
I did.
You did?
Or Facebook, yeah.
What did he say?
Do I still... God, this is like 12.
Oh,
He never responded back. He was just like, oh man, it was a really nice meeting you. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. How does he know who I am? How does he know who I am? That's so cool. Oh. I don't even know. I'm going to go through Messenger and just scroll all the way down and see if...
You could
just look them up. Are messages from like 2012 still there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think that I still have like messengers from when I was making Circle this Christmas.
Let's see. When was that? Was that 2011?
It was like 2010 and 2011. But when we went, it was 2012.
Holy actually. Shit, I'm in 2011 right now. And there's people here I've talked to that I have no idea who the heck they are.
Really?
Well, some people in here, like Brian Roth. God, that was a guy from like algebra class.
Brian Roth?
Yeah.
You found his Facebook account? I thought he was gone.
No, I'm just looking through people I messaged in 2012. Anyway, continue your thing. I'll see if I even see him.
Well, the Disaster Artist, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty good. It was a
Facebook user.
Ha!
Anyway, you go. How was the Disaster Artist?
Pretty good. It's not quite as good as I hoped it would be, but I think they did a good job with it. I felt like the story feels a bit rushed in places, but James Franco did a pretty good job as Tommy. And like you feel like there's scenes where you feel really bad for Tommy. And he's somehow they make him relatable somehow. I'd probably give it a B.
A B? Yeah. Man, it's actually gotten really good reviews and stuff. Like, it's kind of surprising.
It's a good movie. I think it could have been better, but it's a good movie.
See, I'm actually really excited to check that out. So, did Frankie... God, what's his freaking name again?
James Franco?
James Franco. Did he play a good one?
A good Tommy?
Yeah. Did he do a... Really convincing Tommy?
Yeah, he was pretty convincing. Like, he what he doesn't have is that physicality of Tommy Wiseau. Like, the face, it looks like it was carved out of an oak tree.
Okay, so are they playing those characters, like, on and off screen? Is that what it is? Okay.
It's a biopic. It's about the making of it.
God, is he... I can't find it. God damn it. I was hoping it was here. I have a lot of, like, Facebook user people that have, like, killed their Facebook off.
That sucks, huh?
Oh, well, it works out. Anyway, it was, I felt bad, so bad with Greg.
He was so nice, too.
Well, he felt like, at the time, it seemed like he wasn't really into it. Like, Tommy was super into it, and Greg was like, yeah, guys, hi, good to see you. Well, and he kind of gave me, like, the I'm just here for the paycheck vibe.
I don't think that's his thing. I think he just has like more of a calm.
That or maybe it just wasn't his night. You know what? You do 100 of these things,
yeah.
And eventually it's gonna get boring a little bit. You know, even if it's you talk to like rock stars and shit like that, and it's like on their 100th concert, and it's like you have a good time, but sometimes it's just like you're just there. You
know, the motions, yeah.
Or it's like God, look at actors and so like that. Is it Greg and McCallum that was Obi-Wan Kenobi with the Star Wars movie? Ian McGregor, well, not Ian McGregor. He was the newer. I'm talking about the older one for like Star Wars: New Hope.
Okay. The same. Star Wars is
a new. I mean, like the '70s, like you know the original trilogy.
What was his name? The old guy.
Yeah, it was Reagan McCall or something. Anyway, whatever. Famous actor, right? So I watched this thing about
I forget. I know his name.
Looper, which is a great YouTube channel, by the way. I watched a video and it's like he didn't take that for a passion project or anything. He just took it because it was a paycheck. He thought the movie sucked. He wasn't a fan. He just needed, you know, at the end of the day, you know, people are just there for a paycheck. You can have the passion and fun, but every once in a while, it's just like, you're just kind of there to be there, you know?
That's going to bug me because I know the guy, but I can't think of the name.
We can look it up later. It's fine.
Okay.
But it was just like, yeah, it's like, you know, you got to think of it that way. You know, these guys are, you know, and they much as they love and it's a passion, sometimes you're just doing it for the money. You know, everyone's got to eat and live. Everyone's got a mortgage to pay.
You were in all three versions of Truffle Runners, and that definitely wasn't for the money.
No, that was just because I was trying to help out, be a friend.
Yeah.
The third time was a little rough.
It was.
Yeah, we did it three times. We filmed this over, what, the course of three-something years, and right when we actually finish it, I have to move. Holy shit, right? We got it done the first time. That would already be put into YouTube. It'd only have two views, and we'd never have to talk about it again.
I'd be doing something else, like another film right now.
Yeah, are you thinking about doing other films, Jeffrey Crenshaw?
I am. I'm not going to like go into it too much
right now. Go into intimate detail on the Heavyset Go podcast?
No.
Sure?
I'm sure.
All right.
But I'll tell you.
Listeners, I tried. That was my attempt.
Ben and I have talked about making a documentary about Guardian Shield. You remember him?
Guardian Shield.
No, he was the superhero that used to, or the real life superhero who used to like patrol.
Oh, is he that dude in like Seattle or something that used to?
No, that's Phoenix Jones. Guardian Shield was a guy like in Beaverton that did that, and we've been talking about.
Was a guy in Beaverton who did that?
There used to be. Now he lives in Kaiser.
Fuck, I never heard of that.
Yeah, but he's. We've talked about making a documentary about him. We haven't done it yet. But I think we should.
That'd be kind of cool.
It would be. And Ben has a project that we're thinking of doing this month, actually.
How did the card turn out? I never got around to watching that.
Welcome to 2017. The card's been out over a year.
I know it has.
But
I had it saved on YouTube. I'll watch it. I just never got around to it. I need to watch it. Sorry, Ben. I'll watch it.
I heard it was good. It is good. Calvin McCarthy from Mystery Squad.
Where's it at?
The card?
Yeah.
Where is it at? It's on YouTube.
I thought you said it wasn't on YouTube.
It is on YouTube.
You just said it's not on YouTube.
I meant it is on YouTube.
Okay, someone go back and let us know. Yeah. Someone hit rewind real quick.
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
You can watch it. And
sorry, Ben, I'll watch it, I swear to God.
It's Calvin McCarthy.
I really liked Mystery Spot, so I know I like the card.
And
Mystery Spot was worth the $50. I'm just saying. Kickstarter.
Okay. I was like, you paid $50 to see that? Holy shit.
I did like 20 or 50. I can't remember. I think it was 50.
Well, that's...
I put towards.
That's nice. I was first like, okay, Kickstarter, that makes sense.
I got
$50 for admission or...
No, I think I did... What did Kickstarter? I got the picture, the cast, I got the DVD.
Oh, you have the...
Not a Blu-ray. I got a fucking DVD.
Well, no one got a Blu-ray.
Oh, you bastards.
I have a DVD.
I haven't bought a DVD in like 15 years. I bought Blu-rays, but I haven't bought a DVD in forever.
Neither have I.
Since like 06, I don't think I've bought a... Since Blu-ray came out and I got a PlayStation 3, I don't think I've bought a DVD.
Actually, I do buy DVDs. Like, if it's a rare movie that hasn't come out on... Last year...
I've bought Avatar, the complete series. Not the movie, the complete series on DVD.
The Last Airbender?
Yeah, because they don't have it on Blu-ray.
Oh, wow.
So that's the only thing I think I've bought in the last 10 years.
I bought Mommy Dearest on DVD last year.
I don't know, because most movies now come out on Blu-ray. Like you were saying, if it's something like Avatar The Last Airbender, when that came out, I don't think Blu-ray was around, or at the very least it wasn't super popular yet. So it's like now everything's the 4K Ultra HD shit, and it's like, fuck, I'm still collecting Blu-rays. Like, come on.
The 4K stuff is
like... I mean, it might look good, but I have a really nice plasma HD 1080p TV. It's like, I have no reason to really upgrade right now. There's not enough of a difference for me to give a shit.
I remember back in the day, I was one of those...
It's not like a jump between SD and HD. Like, yeah. That was mind-fucking-blowing, right?
I'm just, back in the day, I was really a Blu-ray skeptic. I was like, what the fuck? This is just a way for everyone to replace their collections and buy them all again. And, yeah. I didn't see much difference.
Do you remember going like?
And then later on, I saw the difference. I'm like, oh god.
Do you remember going to like Best Buy and they had like the TV set up with like Spider-Man 3 and they were showing like the SD on the left side and the HD on the right side and they had line. Yeah, it's like that was what it really sold me. I'm like, damn, I can really tell. You know,
I remember that. I'm like,
but it really depended on TVs because if you had an SD TV, it didn't do you any good.
Or shitty Westinghouse.
Yeah, exactly. That or Element or any of those cheap Walmart brands.
Have you seen the Westinghouse TVs?
I mean,
the pixels are like the size of Legos.
Well, it's just, you gotta buy a good TV. If you're gonna buy a TV, it's like Black Friday. You look at the Walmart, everyone's getting that, oh, this Element HD TV for $140. That's completely fucking garbage. You know, it's a bad TV. It's cheap. You know, that's the thing. I'd rather spend, even though I might have less items, I'd rather spend more money on a quality product than... It's like, you know, my wife has always been, I want to buy $20 shoes. Well, how many shoes do you go through a year? I go through 5 or 6. These shoes were $200. I've had them for 6 years.
6 years?
Or 4 years, whatever the hell. It's been a while.
Shoes usually last me like 1 year and then they're dead.
That's what I'm saying. It depends on how much you... If you buy quality products, you know, not just expensive, you go for quality brand, you know. Just because they're expensive doesn't mean they're good. But you go for a quality brand and you treat them right, you're going to have them forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Payless is gone now. You know, then Payless went under, so now no one's buying cheap shoes from them anymore.
Well, Payless exists. I have a good friend that works at Payless.
I thought Payless went under.
No. One of my spirit coworkers.
They're going under or something like that. They filed for bankruptcy.
There's some locations that are closing, but there's some that are still around.
Okay.
A good friend of mine works at Payless.
Yeah, dude, they're going to... So, what I'm getting at, though, is just, you know, I'd rather spend the money on, like, my work boots, you know. People show up to work in $50 Timberlands, and, like, they're already boots. I bought $250 Red Wings. They've gone through 2 or 3 Timberlands. I still have my original Red Wings.
Wow.
They're just good shoes, you know. Granted, like I said...
Are those Red Wings that you're wearing now?
No, these are Ariat.
Ariat? So they're like leather?
These are Ariat. Yeah, they're like a nice little leather. I'm actually a big fan of them.
And they're 6 years old?
Maybe 4. I'm trying to think. I got them the year before, so I've been out in Pendleton for 3 years. I got it the year before, so I've had it for probably 3.5, almost 4 years now.
Shit. How much were those, mate? I ask.
Like 150, 200.
Shit.
I think. Granted, I also buy 2 pairs of shoes, and then I rotate them.
Oh, I got you.
So if you're just wearing the same pair,
you're
also going to fucking bust.
I pretty much wear the same pair every day until the day, and that usually takes about a year, so that's probably like a 50-buck shoe.
Were you buying like 10 shoes and shit?
Yeah, honestly,
you need to go like to the Sportsman's Warehouse or something over there and get some.
Every Christmas,
oh my god, we have to go to the Sportsman's Warehouse because they don't have one in Pendleton.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, after this, we need to go get food and then go do some shopping and then we'll come back and actually film and be responsible adults.
Do ADR like we should have done.
A while ago.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. The computer's been running perfectly while we've been sitting here talking. I'm afraid it's gonna like not once we get back and.
Well, we're all gonna die eventually, so.
But I want to have a film to leave behind.
Yeah, we have the funeral jar. I mean, I don't want to call it art, but...
the funeral jar is good, but I...
The funeral jar was alright. You know, it actually wasn't that bad of a flick. I give it a lot of shit, but it's a lot of fun.
It's... Remember...
It was a good... I've watched the Rough Cuts of Truffle Runner. It's like, you definitely got a lot better over the years.
Well, thank you.
Like, it... You know, Funeral Jar looks like something, you know, high scored it. But actually, that's more of a compliment. It wasn't bad at all. It looked good. Mm-hmm. And then I look at Truffle Runner, I was like, man, that's something like someone in college. You know, you can see the edits are better, the sound is better, the lighting, you know, the lighting is better because we actually had more equipment and shit to use. You know,
Funeral Jar, I just had like a table.
Yeah, Funeral Jar was just like, you know, I remember in fucking high school where you just had the JVC camera and that was all you had. You had to make do. Now it's like you're getting a little better. You got lighting. There's cameras, you know,
shit, actors. Oh, shit, dude. In high school.
It's looking better. You know, looking better like it should. You know, everything you do should look better. Well, like, Brett Sampson's probably still my favorite. Just because how favorite? Ridiculous that was. Because it was it was a 48-hour. Have you talked about this in the podcast?
Maybe, but it's okay.
It was a 48-hour Guerrilla Film Festival.
Yes.
And it was, what, Grindhouse. So we made this one called Brett Sampson, Jilted Warrior. And Jeff was this guy named Brett. And He was this army vet that came back and was like, I love my wife, she's great. And then I played this, like, fucking wife-beating hick that stole his wife.
And she called you Papa. The funny
she
thing...
called me Papa.
So now she was my wife, and she... And I,
your girlfriend or whatever she was.
Yeah. Whatever she was. Or she was my girlfriend.
Sinashi. What was her name again? Sinashi? She was a nice lady.
Sinashi Thabru.
Yeah.
I loved her.
I saw her on Facebook.
Yeah. I haven't seen her at all since then. I've seen her on Facebook.
She went to PSU for a while and I ran into her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you scream at her? Where's my sandwich?
I got her to vote because I was doing the Get Out the Vote campaign. So I got her updated voter registration. I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, good job. Good.
Yeah.
She's super sweet.
As I just sit here and play with a knife.
But it's funny. I wanted her to call Zach daddy, like he's my daddy. But in the film, but she refused to because, well, that's what I call my father, and I don't want to
be weird. I call my father daddy. I feel like it'd be weird if I called anybody else. I'm like,
that's fair.
Of all the reasons I've not been called daddy, I guess that's the most logical.
Yeah, right. It seems fair to me. Like, changed it to Papa. I was fine with that.
There you go. I mean, I didn't want to... I mean, if that was the issue, I didn't want, like, us to be at dinner or something like that with our parents. She says, Daddy, can you pass the salt?
And you're both
and then we both reach for it. I mean, I guess there could be some confusion there. Holy shit, man. That was bad. That was bad.
God, it's...
And you and her dad eyeing each other.
How did
other?
You choose your outfit?
For what?
For Brett Sampson. You had that, like, white shirt.
No, you had the shit. You gave me that stuff.
I gave you that? I thought that you had that
like, stuff. I had the white polo because I worked at Albertsons for a while, but you gave me those were your pants.
Really?
Those were, yeah, you got
I've
me.
I've never worn pants
I
like
got
that.
In your pants. Well, shorts or whatever they were.
Those were...
Maybe yeah, you guys bought them from fucking, like, Goodwill or something.
I do not remember that at all.
Yeah, they weren't mine. The white polo was, though, because that's what I wore.
Like, they were shorts that you were wearing.
I worked at a deli, and they wanted us to wear white, and then they got mad at us for having stains on our shirt at the end of the shift. Like, what the fuck do you expect? Anyway, side story. What the fuck do you expect? I'm handling chicken. Come on!
Yeah,
those were dark days.
You know what's hilarious?
What?
This was, despite Chung Thunder existing, this was somehow our most controversial film.
What, Bryce Anderson?
Yeah.
How? Who? The American flag fell on the ground. Ah, he can go fuck himself.
But, you know, like, the flag fell on the ground and people were offended about that. Like, man, the flag fell on the ground, that's disrespectful and stuff. Like, oh, I'm sorry you were offended. But they weren't offended with you, like, chewing the flag and kissing
none
it.
None of that kind of stuff, no.
You're, like, chewing on the flag, like, daddy's here.
It's a film. Like, come on, guys. Fuck, I need to watch that movie. I watched all the movies again about 3 years ago. It's about time I need to watch them again.
God, it's...
They were fun. You know, I like the 48-hour grill, like, festival stuff. Like, I like watching those kind of movies on YouTube more.
I love
the crazy stuff.
Those are fun to make, but I don't think it's my best work.
I'm not saying, like, it's your best work at all, but it's just, like, you know, the turnaround from the product's quick. It's just fun. You know,
oh, yeah, it's fun.
For what I get, it's fun to be an actor in. You know, probably on your guys' end, it's a little rough, but it's just like, it was just fun. It's like, we're going to do something ridiculous. We're going to have a good time with it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We're all laughing and joking. We're just having a good time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Truffle Runner is like, that's the first time I've ever done anything like a feature length or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I've only been on like 3 or 4 year things. So that was definitely, I was like, man, this is work.
It was hard work.
And by that third one, it was just like, I want to get it done.
Yeah.
And then if I realized that there was ADR, I think I never would have done it. You motherfucker, you tricked me.
Well, that's a whole other story that I won't get into on the podcast. But...
Yeah, I'm just kidding. And it's just like, man, I didn't realize how much work that would be. Because like I said, you know, we never did it for the funeral jar. We never did it for, you know, Brett Sampson. So I never really thought about that. It's like having to scream into a box for an hour. For the exact one line. Again. Motherfucker, I've done it 15, 20 times. What do you want from me? Oh, okay, you're good that time. It sounded like the same thing all the other times.
Well, you have to take into account, like, there might be a noise that you didn't hear.
I know.
And then
you just
want to have plenty that... Like, the other day I was watching the rough cut of Truffle Runners and I heard a sound that had a click. In it, and like, oh, fuck, I hope that I have a replacement. Luckily, I did have one that worked.
Did you figure out better fight scene sounds?
We'll talk about that later.
All right.
We not really, but that's.
Do I have to punch you in the face and we record it?
Nah.
I mean, you want realism in your film, right? So I mean,
not that much.
Just punch you in the face. I can punch Ben. We can do Alan too. Who was the guy that ended up actually filming that scene?
I filmed the scene, but
no. I mean, who was the Helm? What was that? Garrett Helm? Was that guy's name?
Oh, Holm.
Holm, was that him?
He lives in Minnesota now.
Okay, I guess we can't punch him in the face then.
You want to buy a ticket and go to Minnesota, be my guest.
No, I never want to step in Minnesota. I hear that place is hell.
Sorry, Garrett. Zach doesn't approve of your living.
I hear it's hell, I'm just saying.
I heard Pendleton's hell.
I hear there's a lot of drugs in Minnesota.
Really?
Well, it's the Rust Belt in general. It's mostly, auto factories and things like that. And you want to talk about the opiate crisis? Holy fuck, that is, almost, the scent. Because, automotive work, or auto line, it's a lot of dull, it's a lot of tedious, it's boring, people get aches and pains.
Mm-hmm.
They prescribe them, narcotics to help with the pain, and that's where the fucking the opioid crisis almost started, or at the very least, it's huge in there.
Oh, shit. One thing...
Everything I talk about comes back to laws and enforcement and drugs. And
shit. You're obsessed. But,
a little bit.
One thing I want to talk about. Do you remember...
I take ibuprofen for my pain.
Me too.
For my photo. When I got assaulted, they gave me, not oxycodone, they gave me Vicodin.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I took one, and I'm like, I'm not going to take any more. And just threw them away, so.
When I had my appendix out, I was given a bottle of oxycodone.
Oh, you had your appendix removed?
Oh, yeah, it actually ruptured before surgery. I was like, it was my sophomore, you would have been a freshman.
It was my sophomore year. No wonder you're... Okay, I had no idea.
Yeah. It's
that sucks.
Easily the worst pain I've ever felt in my entire life.
Yeah.
I remember it started when, long story short, it started the day of finals, the first semester of sophomore year.
Oh.
So it was about to transition to the second semester. And I had PE finals that day, and I had a jog with an appendicitis, which I thought it was just a stomachache, but... Lord, that hurt. But, anyway, remember back when we were making Funeral Jar and the scene with you and Andy Frame and the...
Andy Frame. What the hell ever happened to that guy?
He actually came by the other day to look at the computer.
Oh, yeah, you guys had a photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I remember that.
It's the first time I've seen him probably...
Since the Funeral Jar.
I think I saw him once since then. I was going to do this behind the scenes documentary that never got made and didn't, there was an interview with him, but, and did one with you too, actually. And,
did we? Fuck, I don't remember.
Yeah. It never got made. So they're just in my archives, but,
you'll have to show me later.
Yeah. He worked on the thing, but I remember at the time he was considering going into the army.
And, oh, yeah, I remember that. He was all gung-ho about that.
Yeah, but he started acting with you, and the dude literally screamed and, ran across
the room. He got fucking creeped out because I was playing this necrophiliac mortician guy. I was trying to act creepy as all hell.
And you succeeded.
And he was going oh, what the fuck? Oh, my God. He looked at me. He looked at me weird. And I would grab his shoulder and lightly massage him as I'm telling him about how much his grandmother's corpse is gonna rot into the carpet and things like that. And he got creeped. At first, I thought he was kidding around, and then it's no, he just got creeped the fuck out. I'm like, damn.
Well,
God, again.
And the funny thing is, I told him dude, if you're going into the army, you might see things, that are scary there too. Are you gonna run from that? He's like, well, I can shoot at those things. and I remember... but honestly, to be fair, if you watch Zach's performance in the Funeral Jar, it's on YouTube. If you watch that and imagine him being right there doing it to you in real life.
And then... let's say we did it for every scene you see, we did 700 takes. So we did it a couple thousand times.
Well, that's not quite true.
That's pretty close. Give or take 100.
No, I probably have never gone over 10 takes.
But anyway, as much as I like doing this, we're
We probably should wrap it up.
Yeah. We want to grab something to eat before we start doing some ADR.
Yeah. Well, this has been Jeff Crenshaw.
It's fun. I'd love to come do it again. It's good times. I listened to like half of the podcast. I haven't listened to them all yet.
You listened to half of one?
Half of them.
Pretty close. Nice. That's impressive.
I maybe listened to, no. How many are you at now?
This will be the 45th, I think.
Okay, I've listened to maybe 12. So I thought you were like at 20. No. JK, I listened to a fourth.
I got you.
I used to listen to podcasts all the time, like going to back and forth to work, like when I was out in Portland, because I had an hour commute.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm 5 minutes from work, like I don't listen to as many podcasts as I used to.
Well, you should.
I need to get back into it. I like podcasts.
Yeah. Listen to ours. Listen to Heavy Set Go with Jeff Crenshaw.
And Zach Shannon.
This has been Heavy Set Go.
Wow.
Your invitation is expired.
This is Heavy Set.